Welcome to 33 Tangents, a podcast discussing a wide variety of topics from digital analytics to working remotely to current happenings in business and technology. Your hosts, Jason Thompson, John Narang, and myself, Jim Driscoll, all live in different areas of the world, but work together in the same company. Our regular day-to-day conversations often go off in various directions, and the goal of this podcast is to share our ideas and find new ways to engage with others. Hey, how's it going?
Pretty well.
So, I have a side business for John.
What would that be?
I was going to bring it up in our one-on-one. Your eye for culinary photography is phenomenal.
Well, thank you. I don't have enough followers to prove your point, but I'm just kidding.
I know, but you can gain it. So there's so much not good content on YouTube that it's quite easy to stand out. And I've been following these two pilots, and I'm not going to get a pilot's license or fly a plane, yet I'm like insanely interested in watching these guys' YouTube content. And I think it's just because they're so engaging and they have a good eye for what people, how people want to see their world. I think it'd be interesting to, like, you know, people want to be, you know, voyeurs, and like, what is it like to like live and, you know, go out to eat in Bangkok? And there's overly produced shows like Bizarre Foods and other things on network TV, but there's not a lot of good like local food content from food bloggers that take you like on the real journey. And I think you have a good eye for it. And these guys have amazing followings on like Patreon of these people just like dumping cash into their accounts for them to like record their journeys. So anyway, planting a seed.
Yeah, I've thought about doing some more video stuff. I think there are some interesting ones that I follow, but yeah, like I agree, there's not a whole lot of really good ones.
Yeah, there are a few gems out there in every kind of segment, but it's like you have to dig through so much garbage to find the really good ones, and then when you find it, you're like, yes, this is what I was searching for. And I think you have like the eye to create something like that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Like I always wanted to have a good, like good grasp of like how it is, like the, from the local perspective before creating videos. Cause I actually had a funny anecdote when I was in Vietnam that week. I was eating, I went to like this banh mi place, you know, the sandwich. And I saw these people that came in like with all this camera equipment, you know, like they had like all this gear, like they were obviously doing some kind of video or something, but I was kind of, I hate to say it, but I was kind of laughing to myself because they were having trouble even ordering one. I mean, it was just like, it was just like probably their overly produced video looks like, you know, makes them look like they're some experts in the, like the whole local scene or whatever. But then like, you know, behind the scenes, it was a very different story.
Right. Yeah.
It was funny. So.
Understood. Anyway.
I like truth and that kind of thing. But yeah, no.
Me too. I mean, that's the content I like. Like, I don't, I want to see the real story, yeah. Right? Like, anyway.
Yeah, that's good. I'll think about that.
I mean, I second it, you know, just looking at the stuff you put up on Instagram. I'm like, oh, where's he eating at today?
Guys, got just come out here and join me.
Seriously, it's one of my favorite Instagram accounts. Oh, and like sometimes, and this is a huge compliment, if I'm like late at night or early in the morning scrolling through my feed and I'm kind of too blurry eyed to see who is posting what, that there have been a few times where I've confused you and Chef Chef Park. The guy I follow from Canada. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Wow. I'm very flattered.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. What are we talking about today, Jim?
All right. So I think that this is part three in the series that we have been talking about. And, we started off with talking about how we got here. You know, we got involved in an industry that, you know, when we were in high school, in college, and starting out our careers, this industry was either didn't exist or vaguely defined. And it's like, how we get here? Because, again, to kind of recap some of it is most people we know, at least I can speak for myself, most people I know, they're familiar with a tried and true career path. You go to school, you know, for something, you know, there's a defined educational path for that career. Once you get into the career, there's a defined path, you know, defined milestones for that. Since we work in, you know, in comparison, like if you were to compare to like teachers, lawyers, doctors, we're in an industry that's still a baby and is rapidly evolving. So we don't have that tried and true career path. So we, you know, gave examples of how we got to where we're at today, you know, recommendations. Last time we talked about the recommendations for those that, you know, see an interest in what we do, what to do, you know, those who are younger, like in college, you know, just starting out in their career. But then, you know, Jason, you had mentioned something about, you know, kind of breaking out the recommendations into those that are maybe established in their career, that are, you know, see that there's a level, you know, that they have a level of interest. They see what we do is interesting and want to pivot. Maybe they've been a project manager for, you know, say a software company, and they're like, oh, you know, I see what you guys are doing, you know, interested in getting into that or the like. So, you know, recommendations for those that are, you know, have an established career, but want to pivot and work in the, you know, this space.
It's an interesting conversation given that I think we probably all fit that category. Sorry. We probably all fit that category to some point or another, right? For me personally, it was pivoting from a software engineer into analytics. I think the big question to ask is, what is it that you're interested in doing? And I think that's one of the more challenging questions when it comes to analytics. And I'm probably sure this is not unique to this field, but as we've talked in previous episodes, the types of work you can do are so extremely broad. So I think, you know, getting an understanding of what area you want to play in is probably a critical first step.
So when you say like area to play in, you know, what are you thinking of?
So, I mean, just if you look at just what we do, you know, and I don't think that what we do is defining of how broad the industry is, but the things that we work on with our clients are everything from highly technical data integrations to implementation of analytics solutions, to analysis of data, kind of bordering on some lighter data sciences and statistical modeling, business optimization. It's such a, again, such a broad category that people coming into the industry for the first time, whether it's a pivot or not, it can tend to be very overwhelming. And it's very difficult to position to companies or even where you focus your time if it's too broad. And I think that there's a point to having that broad understanding. But really, from a personal perspective, looking to what you're trying to pivot to is critical to define that path. Because I'm just a firm believer that there are very few people that have a strong grasp of everything. And it's the people that develop strong expertise in core areas that are really valuable in this industry.
Are you talking about people that, you know, want to pivot to this role in the same company they're at? Or, you know, potentially, because I think it's a very different question when you're also talking about maybe people that are still students, and maybe that's what we already talked about, that wanted to get into analytics. Because I think I always feel like there's this catch-22 kind of thing where a lot of companies always want to hire people in analytics that have experience, but then the problem is getting that experience. Mm-hmm. You hear that a lot, especially with using the Adobe Analytics, you know, suite, where A lot of people have trouble playing around with it or experimenting with it because it's not really available unless you're already part of a larger company. But you know, in the guise of your current question, for I'll assume that you know you're someone working for a company that has access to some of these tools already. I guess you know, practical advice would be to start playing around with it a little bit. I don't know if that sounds too basic, too cliche, but it's a.
Well, I think that there's a. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, I was just gonna say, but I mean, I think getting familiar with the tools, if you're not already, like you know, maybe it's a project manager that might already interact at some level, or someone that may not have. But I think it's good to at least start understanding the types of data that could be, you know, that gets collected, what the default, you know, reports are able to show you, and start understanding like the business questions that you're able to that you can start answering, or you know, coming up with those questions and trying to look for answers yourself. I think there's just like this period of just real life experimentation that's necessary from my point of view.
No, and I mean, I think that's a great start, because I think there's a couple different paths I see with this. So, you know, let's take a role of a project manager, right? You know, with you know, someone who's a project manager, there's certain key skills there that are very transferable from one industry to another. You know, the mindset of being organized, you know, the what's the word I'm looking for? Like the tenaciousness to make sure that those on the project follow through, the knowledge of various tools, whether it's, you know, Microsoft Project, Asana, any of those types of project management tools, like those are skills that are transferable from industry to industry. That being said, those who are usually a very experienced project manager have specialized in a particular field, whether it's you know, financial software for banks, for investment firms, whether it's, you know, e-commerce platform software, or, you know, if we want to go really extreme, say construction. You know, you work for a general contractor and you're a project manager for there. You know, there's certain skills that are transferable there. So if you take someone who, say, is a project manager, in an industry or a company that may be experiencing a contraction at the moment, you know, they have those transferable skills, but they may have 20 years of experience in this particular industry. So they know the steps for a project inside and out, you know. In this case, it is a complete pivot. You know, it's not just within their company. So that's one example there. You know, someone who like, okay, this is, you know, I've been in this, you know, this industry, but not just the company I'm working for, but the industry itself is going through a downturn. You know, not sure if I'm going to you know, to be able to weather this storm. You know, how do I make a change? So you have that person there. And then maybe, yes, you do have that person who is working for a company, and maybe they've been in a related space, whether it's maybe, say, marketing, right? They work in the digital marketing side of things, but they realize, you know what, digital marketing is maybe only going to get me so far based on my interests. But, you know, I do have some common interest in being able to say, okay, the marketing tools give me some level of basic reporting, but I would really love to get into a space where I'm able to do deeper analysis on visitor behavior, purchase path analysis, all of those kind of things. So I think those are two examples there that I think of people that are experienced. They have some set of transferable skills, but yet in some ways it is a complete pivot because there are other things that they've learned about their space that isn't necessarily transferable. And you know, they're going to have to do a bit of learning.
Yeah, I would say that as with any field, there are the specifics that you need to learn. But in this industry, for me, I think the people that have been the most successful have an insane curiosity and the ability to structure themselves to solve very difficult problems. Because if you think about it, that's what we do, right? We have problems that we're trying to solve with data. And a lot of times those solutions or the problems we're trying to solve come out of curiosity. And those are the people that can pivot into this field and do it really well. It's not a paper pushing field. It's not, you know, building reports and distributing reports. I think, you know, people that are looking to pivot and be successful, it's about having that curiosity to solve problems and the ability to structure their thinking to solve very difficult challenges. And that can come from lots of different industries. And that's what I love about this space is there are so many people with such diverse backgrounds that they take different approaches to those problems and can come up with different paths, but still arrive at the same solution.
Actually, that's a really good point. And that was something I was just thinking about too, that it's not just, you know, we kind of started talking about some of the challenges in pivoting, but the real advantage or what makes analytics really cool, like you mentioned, is like it encompasses, it can be so wide also. So for instance, if a project manager wanted to pivot into analytics, I mean, there's a big project management component that comes as, you know, part of the analytics job. So, you know, in some ways, you know, they bring that aspect or that flavor to analytics, and they have, you know, that skill already down. So I think that the nice thing is, like, no matter where you come from, you can carry the skills that you had before into analytics and, you know, expand on that. So it's not like starting over necessarily.
Yeah. And I mean, a common theme that, John, as you were talking there, that I've seemed to notice throughout our conversations on this series is, and Jason, you were kind of hinting at it too, there's a level of initiative that's needed, you know, that self-driven nature, whether it's the drive to solve problems, the drive to learn. So I think, you know, one common theme that we may have, you know, discovered here is one of the things that make people great in this space is, you know, the initiative that those people take. I'm not trying to sound redundant, but there's a drive there within those people, and those people seem to be the most successful, whether they're new, they're existing, or they're looking to pivot into it. You know, would you agree with that?
Was that to me?
Just in general. Yeah.
I'm sidetracked by what I'm wondering John is opening up.
Oh. Sorry. I'm sorry. I was just making a cup of tea. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that I didn't realize it was my microphone was so sensitive.
No. And honestly, this is great because I want these to feel less stiff, right? I want these to kind of just flow. And I knew, you know, I know we're eventually going to hit our groove when we do that. So no, that's hysterical.
It was a tea bag. Okay, I'm very question. Sorry to throw really everyone off.
I really was sidetracked. I'm like, what is John making?
Nothing exciting.
John, by the way, to kind of, you know, with the conversation we started off on, you definitely need to post that to Instagram, you know, post like your microphone with like the cup of tea. I was just kind of, one of the things I noticed, Jason, as you were making your comment, John, you made yours, is the common theme I think that we've talked about over the last couple episodes is, you know, for this particular space, and I'm not saying other industries aren't, but it seems like the most successful are the ones that have like this innate drive to solve problems and learn. Again, because Jason, you know, your comment was, we're not a paper pushing industry, right? You know, anybody, I'm just going to say it. Anybody can get a job that you clock in 9 to 5, you know, you send emails, you write, you know, write documents. Anybody can do that. But those that really want to last or really make a name for themselves or be successful in an industry such as ours, there's this level of innate drive to solve those problems, to learn, to understand what's new. Since it's a rapidly changing industry, things, you know, change on a dime. And that's the common theme against, you know, with anybody, you know, whether, again, you're new or, you know, you're looking to make a pivot. So I would say, like, you know, that's definitely one of those innate skills that is transferable from industry to industry.
Yeah, agreed. And it's interesting, when I was running analytics client side, I would look for people that were using creativity to solve problems in their day-to-day job. And I identified them as being someone that I wanted to add to my virtual team. So a lot like even today, analytics teams are often quite small, and you need to develop liaisons in other departments to become really successful. And that's one of the things that I looked for, whether it was someone in engineering that had built their own little hack to make their job easier, or someone in the marketing department that was, you know, kind of going rogue and running their own little analytics platform to help measure their job. Like, those are the people that I would look for that had a strong affinity to what it was that I was trying to build. And I think if you look around, they're everywhere. In that, you know, people are using data or ways to help do their job better, and they may not recognize it as analytics, but they're trying to find unique and creative ways to solve problems themselves. They have that innate kind of ability to make that pivot. And for me, as someone running analytics, it was easy for me to forcefully kind of go and grab them and say, I need you to align with what I'm building because you have the right mindset. But people looking to make a pivot, I think they're probably already doing it, right? If they take a step back and look at how they've started hacking their job to make it more data-driven, they're probably already making that pivot without even realizing. And I think that's a good jumping off point for them to make a more formal pivot into an analytics role.
Mm-hmm. And that's a phenomenal point, because, you know, I think of, like, you know, whenever I'm on the consulting side of things, whether it's, like, you know, the internal person working with, you know, that has a team, or, you know, like, you know, the consulting like we do now, you know, whenever I have, like, a client, you know, I've found I've had the most success when you have those people that, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, they want to experiment, right? You know, you kind of, come up with an idea. Oh, let's try this. The default answer isn't, well, we need to go through this process and check with this person. You know, we're able to do some level of experimentation. And these could be small little things that come out to be big wins, or they could be things like, okay, that wasn't a good idea. Let's not do something like that again. And I know that I've always found, you know, success in that, you know, in that regard.
Yeah, and I think that there are opportunities within companies to do that even before it's a formalized role. It's an interesting question, in that I've been able to meet with a couple different MBA programs at different universities across the country, and it seems to be a common question that I'm asked from MBA students that are typically not your traditional undergrad right into MBA, but have been in the workforce for several years, or are doing an executive course where they're working and pursuing an MBA. And that's one of the things that I've been asked every time that I talk with these students is, how can I start to get experience in analytics now, in my own job? And that's one of the things that I've kind of challenged them to do, is there is so much opportunity, for you to find ways to inject yourself into analytics within your current role, and make your role more data defined, than trying to make a just straight pivot and saying, I'm going to leave my job as X and then become an analyst, right? So I'm going to leave my job being a project manager or product manager, and tomorrow I'm going to be an analyst. I think there's a much more smooth transition to that. And in fact, a much more applied transition, if you can look for ways to use data more in your current role, then I think that positions you really well. And I think within a company, especially companies that are very much looking for to use data to drive the company, that would be very welcomed and refreshing, right? For someone to independently go out and say, you know, again, regardless of what it is my role is, that for, you know, this year, one of my objectives is to make better use of data in my role as a fill in the blank.
Definitely. Yeah, I think nowadays, I mean, that kind of touches on the point that analytics really bleeds into many other roles already. And yeah, so maybe, I mean, it might not be as difficult as a pivot as even we remember, because I think as time goes on, there's more and more overlap too.
Agreed. I mean, I can't think of many roles where the use of data wouldn't be highly valuable to what it is you do. And we're seeing that discussion in so many different areas, you know, where so many different businesses and roles are looking to use data to better what they do, whether it's kind of the trend now in sports with, I think, kind of the Moneyball craze, or it was even like, I don't even want to date myself, when I was in graduate school, but I had several courses in medical informatics, which was fascinating to me, you know, using data to reduce infection rates and better outcomes. And, you know, that's obviously a huge feature. But just in day-to-day businesses, you know, groups that historically weren't data informed are now, you know, thirsting for that data. So really, you know, it doesn't need to be a analytics position and analytics role within a company. I can't think of a role that can't benefit from having an analytical component added to it.
I just thought of something great because you mentioned Moneyball. So one, the Phillies, you know, the current GM is, you know, a student of Billy Beane and Theo Epstein. And so it's been fun watching him, you know, apply that same kind of stuff to rebuilding this team here. But then I also thought of something else. So have you guys heard of the Albuquerque Isotopes? They're a minor league baseball team.
Are they the team from The Simpsons?
Tangentially, yes. No. Dead serious. So yes, the Albuquerque Isotopes.
I didn't realize
they are a real team. So in The Simpsons, you have the Springfield Isotopes. It's the baseball team. And there's this one episode, I believe it's titled Hungry, Hungry Homer, where he gets wind of that the ownership
is looking to move the team.
He hears that the team is, you know, the ownership is looking to move the team to Albuquerque. So he goes on a hunger strike and everything. So, you know, the end, you know, the team stays. But there was a talk of, you know, moving the team to Albuquerque and being the Albuquerque Isotopes. Well, they don't flat out say that they were inspired by The Simpsons, but they kind of say they were, right? You know, they have to be careful. But yes, you know, the Albuquerque Isotopes, the logo is kind of similar. Well, it was a couple of years ago. I was watching that episode. I'm like, oh, I'd love to have an Albuquerque Isotopes hat. So I looked it up, and yeah, they were selling it online. And so I bought myself an Albuquerque Isotopes baseball cap. And one of the things I was reading about them is the team says they know when the episode airs because sales go through the roof. They see a spike in sales for t-shirts and hats and stuff. And then they can also kind of tell, like, when, say, like, there's regional channels that air it in syndication, where it airs, because they can get into that level of data and say, oh, we're seeing a spike in orders, you know, from these areas of the country. So not only did the episode air again, it aired in these areas, maybe say on like a local, you know, Fox affiliate that has syndication rights.
That is right? Awesome.
So, I mean, it's funny that you can get into this kind of stuff and you can learn behavior. And, you know, they're not getting the Nielsen data that, oh, the episode, you know, aired. They're just seeing it in their own, you know, their own order tracking.
No, and I think that helps to kind of prove my point. And I think, you know, we're obviously way too closely related to the digital analytics space to kind of look at that broader picture. So I think it's good to force ourselves to think outside of that box, because I think that definitely aligns with what I'm talking about, is that at least the people that I interact with tend to be much more closely aligned with the digital analytics space, right? So the things that they tell me are, how can I break into the pound measure industry and blah 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 blah, and I'm like, you know, it's so isolated that it's really not the path that you have to go down to get into analytics, right? Like, you know, the people, using data to monitor when the Simpson episode airs, so they sell more. Like you ask them, hey, did you study the gurus in pound measure? They would be like, what the hell are you talking about, right? Like there's so much opportunity out there, and it's so much broader than what we even think. And again, I think for the people we interact with, the fact that we are so close to this, I think is a barrier to them, that there's this path that you have to go down, that you kind of break into this space and you interact with these gurus and you present at these conferences, and that's the path. And it's really, I mean, it's a path, but it's one of many, many paths that you can go down. And I would say it's not even the recommended path, right? To me, the recommended path is finding data and using data within your own role. Why try to make it any more difficult than that? And if it pivots into something else where it's running analytics for a company, going out and doing analytics consulting, working for a vendor, fine. But why make that the initial leap? Why not just start using data in what your day to day already is?
You know, the role of the analytics person is to, in an ideal state, I think it's to make their organization more data driven overall, kind of be the data evangelist. That's always how I kind of thought of my role, you know, when working client side, and even now, so you know, to some degree. But I think, to that, you know, if you take that altruistic kind of perspective of analytics, it's, it's just. I mean, it just goes to, according to, you know, what you were just saying, Jason, where like, you know, you should start using data in your current role instead of, you know, necessarily jumping over immediately.
I mean, it seemed for me, it just seems like the lowest barrier to entry, you know? So for me, I'm always looking for that path that is the least friction prone, and if I, you know, want to move into analytics, then, you know, I'm going to start to look for ways that I can use data in what it is that I'm already doing. And the great thing about it is that it's not a stretch. You know, there may be some things where it is a stretch. You know, let's say you're, I don't know, maybe there isn't, but I can't even come up with something. Maybe you're a ad buyer or something and you want to get into software engineering, and I don't know, maybe it's not even a stretch that you build your own system to make that better. But for data, it really isn't a stretch. You know, there's not any real field or role that can't benefit from having data inform what it is that you do. And so the barrier is low. It's not a stretch. And the fact that it's instantly going to start adding value is a huge positive.
Yeah, totally.
And for anyone listening that's wanting to make that pivot, I think that should be hugely motivating. In that, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but you know, I don't have to just up and leave my job. I don't have to make drastic decisions. There are very real things that literally you can start doing right this moment, and that should be very empowering.
Totally agree. John, you know, did you have any parting thoughts?
Not really. Not to sound silly about it, but no, I totally agree with that too, actually. You know, I wasn't thinking about it that way initially, but I mean, I think if someone wants to get into analytics, you know, for the right reasons are doing air quotes, it's, you know, you should be curious about the data and wanting to be more empowered by it. So, and I think any role can benefit from that. You know, on the other hand, you're looking to pivot to analytics because you think it's has better longevity or like, to change, or you think there's better job prospects. I mean, maybe, you know, not really knowing what it entails. I think that's another question to go down. But if you're wanting to get into analytics because you're genuinely curious about data and trying to see how it can empower the business, then I think, yeah, you can use that in any role.
Yep, totally agree. Along with the, don't get into it just because it's the hot industry. That I think will definitely set you up for failure. But it's interesting, as we started off with this, I was kind of thinking, let's kind of have some recommendations or things, for those that just want to get into the space, whether they're starting out or they're experienced or whatever, let's tell our stories and say, hey, you should try this, right? And it's organically morphed into, no, don't try these specific things. Here's some things that we found that helped. You might want to give it a try, but it's ended up on, the more meta level on, how to break in. So I think it's been a really good, fun conversation. So with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up for today, and we'll talk to everybody later. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so by emailing podcast@33sticks.com or on the web at www.33sticks.com. The 33 Tangents podcast is a production of 33 Sticks.